relegate Jonah or Noah or other people to Sunday school. They're just as applicable to every person here today. And we're going to be looking over the next few weeks at characters from the Old Testament about the sense of God calling people and what their responses were. So not just the Old Testament, actually. We'll be also looking at Gideon. If you want to read on ahead in advance in the book of Judges 6 and 7, we'll be looking at Tabitha in Acts 9, one of my favorite New Testament characters, so little said that she did good and cared for the poor. We'll be looking at her, we'll be looking at Mary, one or two other people. Just that God had his hand upon their life and he called them. And one of the key things, and if you were at the Vision Evenings or heard them online, one of the big things we're trying to talk about at the moment is how God is calling everyone. God is calling everyone, you and me. He's calling you. And there's none of us are exempt. We are all included. If you're in Christ, you are called. You are called. You are enlisted. You are. God has sent you into this world. And we have a mission that God has called us to know Christ and to make him known. Our mission is to see every person and every place saturated with God. And we're all called. We're called believers. And I was just reflecting and thinking over this past week on the first time on youth camp. In fact, it was a children's camp. I went to children's camps and youth camps. And I remember hearing that Bible verse that it says in 2 Corinthians that we are ambassadors for God. And it's as though God was sending us into the world. And we go into this world and we plead with this world, be reconciled to God. And it's when I heard that little phrase, ambassadors for Christ, something happened in my heart as a young teenager. I thought, that's what I want to be. I want to be an ambassador for Christ. I remember going up, talking to the youth leader at the camp and just praying with that person about God's call on my life. And something happened in the younger years in my life. Something happened on that day that has made a difference throughout the years since, because it's just that recognition of I've been called. It's nothing to do with getting ordained at all. You are called in your workplace. You are called in your family. You are called in your street. You are called in your community, in your friendship group. God has called you. God has called you in the ministries he's placed you in. Wherever you spend your time, the Lord has called you into your hobbies, into your leisure, everything. It's all for him, all for his glory. You are called. And the question is, are we hearing the call of God in our lives? Can we hear him? Because for me, the first time I heard that call, everything changed after that. Everything changed. The whole sense of commitment to the kingdom of God totally changed. The recognition that my life was not my own, but it was for him, for his glory. That just so many things changed at that moment. Priorities changed. We don't live for ourselves, but we live for others. William Booth, I was hearing about this the other day, he wrote one word to a colleague of his who was in ministry, and it was just this word, others. And that's amazing truth for us to take on board. We don't live for ourselves, we live for others and the kingdom of God. That was a lesson that Jonah, I'm afraid, did not understand. And the book of Jonah is in the Bible for us, for this purpose, so that we will not be like Jonah. In fact, I think maybe when Jonah wrote the book, he was trying to help other people. He was almost warning us away from the way he approached his life. I'm sure he probably wrote it in his later years. And reflecting upon his life, he realized actually he'd not done it the right way. And we're going to come on and look at this in just a moment. But I would love us, as we look at Jonah this morning, to look into a mirror. Because as I've looked at Jonah's life, I can see a lot of myself in Jonah. Maybe you'll see a lot of yourself in him as well. And over these next few weeks, I would love you to see yourself in these characters that we're describing and how the call of God affected them and impacted them, because we are all called. Everyone to come alive in Christ, everyone to be being the people God wants us to be and doing the things that God lays on our hearts. And so Jonah was someone who loved God. Hope we can put our hands up to that one. He loved God, but here's the thing, Jonah was conflicted. Many of us will put our hands up to that one as well. Conflicted, struggling. And throughout the book of Jonah, we see this in his life. He struggles to obey, he struggles to love. Those are the two things he struggles with. Anybody else have struggles? That's how Jonah was, and it's good for us to learn. In fact, someone described Jonah as like an anti-Good Samaritan. Interesting. The Good Samaritan is a radical story, because Jesus told that story when the Good Samaritan reached out to someone who was foreign, different, other, not like him. I'm afraid that's what Jonah wasn't like. Now is the time for us to be Good Samaritans, to learn to love people who are different, and to love our neighbor. Who is our neighbor? Jonah did not know the answer to that question that Jesus posed much later. Who is my neighbor? He wasn't interested in his neighbor. He was only interested in his own people. And we don't want to be like that. And we can see through the book of Jonah how God worked in his life. And also in 2 Kings chapter 14 is the only other place in the Old Testament that we read about the life of Jonah. He ministered during the reign of a king called Jeroboam II. He was actually in the 8th century BC. He was a very good leader, Jonah. He actually prophesied prophecies that came true. This is how we read of him in 2 Kings 14. And so he was successful in his prophetic ministry. He was ministering into the northern kingdom of Israel. He was a good man, a good leader, well-respected as a prophet. And this is why the shocking call of God that came into Jonah's life was so difficult for him. I just want to look at the two verses here. I don't really have, it's more reflections on these two verses, verses 2 and 3, I want to share. So if you just look at verse 2, where it says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, 'Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me.'" And so to this very successful leader and prophetic character in Israel, this shocking, really unprecedented message came. The reason is, Jonah would be thinking to himself, the prophets are for God's people. God sends the prophets. If you notice, the prophetic ministry was usually to the people of God, to correct them, to bring them back to the ways of the Lord. Why is God calling Jonah out of Israel to another nation, to another people? What's going on here? And this would have been startling for Jonah. It would have sent a shockwave. This is when if you're reading this verse, we just read it and think, well, great, go to Nineveh. I mean, no sweat. But actually, for Jonah, it would have been really radical. It would have been out there. It would have been something he would have thought, why? Why would I want to go and do that? God doesn't speak like that to people. Why would I go to another nation? And not only another nation, but Nineveh was the capital city of the Assyrian Empire. And the Assyrian Empire, in our language today, you might call it a terrorist state. The Assyrian Empire was incredibly violent, incredibly cruel. They dreamed up remarkable ways of torturing people. Nobody would have wanted to have been next to the Assyrian Empire. There was fear surrounding that empire. And that's why Jonah would rightly have thought, just like in Nahum chapter 3, ever read the book of Nahum? Always worth reading the minor prophets. Nahum chapter 3 is already about the judgment on Nineveh because of the wickedness of Nineveh and the Assyrian. Are you still with me, by the way? This is ancient Near Eastern. Jonah to Nineveh. Because surely just the judgment of God is all that they need. And he is disturbed by God's love for the world. The thing about the call of God is, it is often disturbing. The call of God is rarely comfortable. It rarely comes with just a sort of ease, if ever. The call of God is quite disturbing. God often calls us to people who are not like us, to people that we might not want to spend time with, to people that we might find it easy to judge. Yeah? And it exposes something in our hearts of prejudice, hard-heartedness, judgmentalism. All these things get exposed sometimes when the Lord's compassion reaches out to somebody or something or some body, people group that is not like us. And we are just like Jonah in so many ways. God calls someone else. God, not to them, not to that. I don't want to go there. Or do that, Lord. It's too hard. I don't love those people. All sorts of excuses begin to pour out. But you see, Jonah was disturbed by God's for the world. Did God righteous but sinners to repentance? Jesus said. It's just like those Pharisees when they found Jesus eating with tax collectors and sinners. Them. And what did Jesus say? I didn't come for the healthy, but for the sick. God calls us into places that are uncomfortable and to people not like us often. And we're called, who was my neighbor? Then Jesus told that story of the Good Samaritan. That's how we're called as well. It's challenging, isn't it? See, Jonah's this prophet. He's a prophet. He's a good prophet. He's not a false prophet, but he's struggling. It's interesting, isn't it? He's struggling that his faith has not gone deep enough for him to love other people. You can be a prophet this morning, but still not be deep, that deep in love, in the love of God. We want prophetic ministry, but we actually need love. He hadn't gone deep enough, Jonah. He was successful. It was all going his way. He had prophesied, by the way, that the borders of Israel would be extended, and they had been under Jeroboam. The borders of Israel got extended, and so everybody would look at Jonah and think, "You're the man. You know, you're close to God." And yet, the Lord suddenly touched his heart. And where has he touched his heart? It's in the place of two places: obedience and love. And those two things. Jonah is prophetic. He's successful, but it doesn't go deep enough to love others not like him. That's the challenge. And I think there's a challenge for that for all of us as well. In Mark 12:31, that's where Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. Love. Love. Do you know the answer to all the situations we're facing around the whole issue of our place in the world today? The answer is not in whether we've left or whether we should rejoin, whichever side people are on. It's not the answer. The answer is love your neighbor as yourself. It's Jesus. When will we learn that the actual answer is in the kingdom of God, not in Downing Street, although we honor our leaders? The answer, friends, is here this morning. You are the answer to the heartache in our nation today. We, the Church of Jesus Christ, a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden, a people who God can get hold of, and if we grasp that God is calling us to obey him and to love our neighbor, wow, that would be an amazing move of God. We believe that? To go to people that the world has written off. To go to people that the world has no time for. To love people that's exactly what Jesus did, isn't it? And that's a challenge for all of us. To be thinking about, how am I moving out of my comfort zone? How might God's call disturb my comfort and take me to love our community in new ways. We are the answer. We're the light of the world. We're the city set on a hill which cannot be hidden. And so today we've got this successful, devoted prophet who struggles with obedience, with running away from God. And can I see myself? Can you see yourself in Jonah yet? Doing our best. I'm sure Jonah was doing his best. I'm sure he wasn't deliberately sort of setting out. It was just that he was hugely conflicted. He was struggling with his own attitudes. Doing his best, but actually disobedient. Running away from God. He was not obedient to God. And are we obedient to God? Are we aware of the call of God upon us? Are any of us running away today from loving our neighbor? Are any of us running away from God's call on our lives to love God and love others as we love ourselves? Are we running from that? Are we avoiding that? Or are we willing? This is the big question. Jonah was not willing. He was avoiding. He tried to avoid. Avoidance. Avoidance is one of those things that happens in so many areas of our lives, isn't it? Just put your head in the sand. You hear the Lord calling, you know, God calling us to share Jesus with our neighbors. God calling us to love and care for the poor and the oppressed. God calling us to speak for those who cannot speak for themselves. Calling us to practical action in all sorts of ways in the kingdom of God. And yet we put our head in the sand. It's not, you know, someone else will do it. This is for somebody else. God calling us to disciple our children and our young people. Calling us to have a culture of the kingdom of God in our homes, in our marriages, in our family life with our children. God calling us. Can you hear God calling you today? And are we running or are we willing? Are we avoiding? Are we saying, I'm too busy? This is the cancer of our culture. Busyness. We're too busy to listen to God and too busy to obey what he says. Also, it may be that we just worked out our own plans for life. And so, if God's plans and my plans collide, who is going to win? Some of us are building our own little kingdoms. Might be to do with, who knows what, finances, housing, you know, houses, lands, the pleasures of the world, the riches, the cares, all these things that the world chases after. It may be plans that are good plans, but they're not God's plans. And today, friends, we will never see an outpouring of the Holy Spirit unless we align to God's plans, not our plans. It's his kingdom come, my kingdom go. That's what John the Baptist said. He must increase, I must decrease. Behold the Lamb of God. You know, he knew when the moment was. It's all about him, not about us. That's just the road that Jesus took when he humbled himself and became obedient to death and death on a cross. And then God exalted him and gave him the highest place. That is the pathway of the kingdom. Downward mobility is the path to the kingdom of God. Jonah struggled and was conflicted about it. And we all are. We are. We, you know, let's be honest. We can't stand up here and say, we always go God's way, do we? 100% of the time, we're always. But actually, Jesus is calling us. I believe that the heart of this morning is to be more like Jesus and less like Jonah. More like Jesus, less like Jonah. Jesus showed us this path, and Jonah is showing it to us in another way, in a sort of antithesis way. Let's just look at verse 2 then. Verse 3. So it says, God, in verse 2, God said, go to the great city of Nineveh. In verse 3, it says, but Jonah ran away from the Lord to Tarshish. And if you notice that, if you don't know, but Tarshish is the opposite direction from Nineveh on the map. And in fact, instead of going, let me get this right, instead of going west by land, he went east by sea. All the opposites. We just go the opposite way to Tarshish, where he thought he was going to escape the Lord. Jonah, he was running away because he thought it made no sense. Why? You know, does God know what he's doing? Why is God calling me to Nineveh? They don't need me. They've already been pronounced judgment from Nahum. What's God doing? You know, why is Nineveh going to even listen to me? If I go there, they're just going to ignore me. I'm from Israel. Those guys, you know, it might even have been fear around his safety. No doubt, we would all be thinking about that. Why would they listen to me? What would you do if the Lord said to you to go up and down the high street in Loughton here just preaching against the city? You'd probably question that, wouldn't you? You'd say, is God really saying I should do that? But let me ask us this question. Do we only obey God when it makes sense to us? God, Jonah was running away from God, but thank goodness God would not let him go. You see, the people of Nineveh needed mercy, but let's be honest, Jonah needed mercy. This is the amazing grace of God. And this is an example of how God looks for people. If it was all just about the task, God would have just found someone else. But actually, God didn't let Jonah go. He thought, no, Jonah, I want you. And he pursued Jonah in grace. And the Lord loves you so much. God loves us even when we're conflicted about serving him. He still loves us. It's not conditional. God loving you is not conditional on whether you obey him. You could disobey the Lord. He would still love you just the same. And he also wants you. He wants you in his purposes. Not just so that you can fulfill a task for him, but he actually wants you. Because he loves you. He loves what you could bring. He wanted Jonah to bring that prophetic message to Nineveh, and he pursued him. It's wonderful here that Jonah is actually the object of the grace of God just as much as the people of Nineveh were. And so then that storm comes along. And in the Bible, often storms are pictures of sin or chaos or disorder. That's why the Philistines are actually called the people of the sea, because they represent disorder and chaos in the Old Testament. And the storm arises, and if you're reading this as a Jew, you would have noticed that this which he is directing us when we're trying to run away from him, he's still calling us back to himself. The grace of God in that big fish at work in the life of Jonah. And it's even that fish is part of what Jesus talks about, actually, in Matthew 12, as representing. Jesus takes this man who's running away from God, is conflicted in his life, but Jesus still, in his grace, uses him to the people of Israel as an example, sets him up as an example of love, actually. The 3 days in the tomb with the fish. And how Jonah was in the belly 3 days, just like Jesus was in the grave for 3 days. And Jesus still is, there's still grace towards Jonah. It's wonderful. You read Matthew chapter 12, that's about what Jesus has to say about Jonah. God would not let him go. And God's not going to let you go either. Jonah sacrificed himself to save those sailors. There's another little picture in there of what Jesus did for us. Jonah was a substitute. Those sailors would have all drowned, but Jonah came as the substitute and was thrown overboard, and the sailors were saved. Just like Jesus was our substitute, and he died on the cross to save us. lots of parallels through the Old Testament insight here. He says that the book of Jonah is a bit like the prodigal son. He calls him the prodigal prophet. Because if you remember, Jonah chapters 1 and 2 is all about Jonah running away from God. And then Jonah chapters 3 and 4 is about Jonah kind of obeying, but reluctantly. He obeys, but he's still offended. He's still angry, even when he obeys. It's just like the younger brother in the prodigal story who rebelled and ran away from God. But then Jonah is also like the elder brother who kind of had obedience in his heart, but was angry and offended. It's really interesting parallel there between the prodigal son story and the prophet and the story of Jonah, which is just one for free there from Tim Keller. But God is calling everyone. God is calling us today. Just as he said to Jonah, go to the city of Nineveh. The wonderful thing is that when Jonah was coughed up by the fish and when he ended up obeying the Lord and he went to Nineveh and he went through the streets preaching the judgment of God and the wrath of God against the wickedness that was there, and made the people listened. Can a city be saved in a day? Look at Nineveh. Look what God did in Nineveh. And we've got 31,000 in Loughton, 130,000 in Epping Forest. God loves the world, and he's calling people to obey him in love and to go. Go to the city. We've got to love the communities that God's placed us in. We're sent to go out this week. We're called. We're called to serve. We're called to love. Friends, there's, as we shared on the evenings, the vision evenings, there's 0.9% of people in this region who go to church in Anglican churches. There's so much need out there. And we don't want to, any one of us, we're all called to action. We're all called to serve. We're called to love. God has called us. God has called you. And don't be like Jonah, who firstly rebelled against the call of God, but secondly obeyed in anger. You know, we don't want to do that either. Right at the last, in the book of Jonah, let's just read the last little bit here. This is so interesting. When Nineveh repents, Jonah is still upset because he says to God, because I knew that you would save the people and they're our enemies. And so God is gracious and sends a tree, a plant to cover Jonah. And then God also causes that plant to wither and for Jonah to get a bad sunburn. And it says there that God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? It is, he said. This is chapter 4, right at the end. And I'm so angry, I wish I were dead. My goodness. That's a bit of an anger issue. But the Lord said, listen to this. You've been concerned about this place, this plant, though you did not tend it nor make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left? That's the love of God. The love of God. God sees those 120,000 people. He sees that they're like sheep without a shepherd. It's like when Jesus stood over Jerusalem and mourned in his heart, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would long to gather you. God wants to gather. He wants to bring people to himself. God looks at Epping Forest and he says, these people, there's 130,000 people who don't know their right hand from their left. And you, Jonah, you are just worried about yourself and your plans and whether you're going to get what you want in life. And God is saying, come on, Jonah. That's my heart. It's a heart of love. When are you going to get that I'm a loving God? And stop being angry that I've disturbed your comfort and start to move out in the call of God that I've got for you. That's the heart of God that we're reading there in the book of Jonah. And so just as I close, the two things that I wanted to take from this. Number one, make ourselves available to God. Willingness. Willingness. Don't fight the Lord. If God's calling you to stand up and get involved in the kingdom of God in this generation, through St. Mary's, through whatever way he calls you, do it. Do not delay. Do not prevaricate. Do not run from God. He'll just send a storm and a fish, and you'll end up back where you started, honestly. Just do it. Obey the Lord. Fear the Lord. Obey him. Don't run. But listen, Lord, what are you calling me to do? Is it with children and young people? Is it with issues of justice? Is it with issues of poverty? Is it evangelism, sharing my faith with others? Lord, how are you calling me to make a difference today in the world in which I find myself? How can I shine like a bright light in this generation where they don't know their right hand from their left? God, all across this church this morning, the call of God is in all of us. Do not believe that you're insignificant. You are significant in the purposes of God. That's why you're alive. It's why God is still giving you breath in your lungs so that you can make a difference to somebody out there who doesn't know their right hand from their left, who's never heard that Jesus loves them, might be in the thick of who knows what trouble. And God is sending us, and everybody is involved. So that's the first point. Make yourself available to God, just like loose change in his pocket. How does he want to spend you? Then, number two, whatever it is, do it in love. Whatever it is, make sure you do it in love, not out of duty or harsh obedience like Jonah seemed to have. See, I think God just doesn't want us to obey. He wants us to love him in our obedience. It's love. Without love, we're gongs, we're cymbals, it's meaningless without love. That's what 1 Corinthians 13 says. So if you obey God and just do it out of you must, I'm afraid it's still pretty worthless. God wants our obedience, but he wants our obedience in love. This is to be love, relationship. And so maybe we need to be praying, God, melt my hard heart. God, have mercy on my prejudices. God, have mercy on me because I don't love my neighbor as I love myself. Jesus, help me to be sacrificial. Help me to care about people who are different from me as you do, Jesus. And that's the heart of God for the kingdom among us. Then people will look at us and say, wow, their God is real. Their God is real. God is among them because it's on display. So friends, today let's be like Jesus, not like Jonah. And let's, the book even ends, we still don't know, bless him, how he turns out in the end. But presumably he wrote it as a way of helping us to think, oh, that's how not to do it. Which is sometimes helpful, clarifying how to do it. But may God stir us up to say, Lord, here am I, send me. That something would happen in all of our lives that would mean we're called and we can never be the same again. Amen? Let's pray. Father, gracious God, your grace is incredible. Lord, that you love the world, our world which is so wicked and fallen short. Jesus, you love that world. And sometimes, Lord, we're too quick to judge, too quick to be angry and make demands. Jesus, I pray that you would pour out that gift of love upon us. Jesus, we pray for mercy where we've not loved one another. We've not loved you or one another or our neighbor. Have mercy, Jesus. wash us clean. And I pray you so fill us and baptize us in the love of Christ, which would compel us, which would catapult us into wanting to lay down our lives for others. Jesus, please deliver us from our culture, which is poisoning our hearts. That selfishness, that idolatry of things, putting other things above you. Jesus, have mercy. Jesus, deliver us. Jesus, rescue us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and help us to be a holy people, a chosen people, a peculiar people, Lord, who are wholly given to you, a consecrated people, a people who are the Lord's people. In the name of Jesus, we pray for this church to look more like Jesus. You, God, we're conflicted, we struggle, we sometimes don't know how to do it, but Lord, we do know that we need your Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray that you would help us to say yes and not to run away. Help us, Lord, to be available to you. And help us, Lord, when you lead us and give us opportunities to share with others or even within our church family, Lord, give us opportunities and help us to do it in love, oh God. Would you please fill us with the love of God in the name of Jesus. Oh God, we want to go deeper. We want to go deeper, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Take us deeper than Jonah was, Lord God. Even though he was a good man, take us deeper than that. And I pray, Father, that you would do a new work in us. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. And I want to pray, Father, that you would release the people of God here in St. Mary's to fully be using the gifts that you've given us for your kingdom. Father, that we would see the sick healed, the lost found, that we would see signs and wonders and miracles in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray that we would see justice flow like rivers in this community, that the hungry fed, the lonely put in families. The Lord, in Jesus' name, we pray, Father, for signs of your kingdom among us, Lord God, and I pray that we would hear the call of God this morning. Go, go, go to your Nineveh. Go to where God's calling you. Let us hear your voice, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just let's